Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. We are experiencing a small technical difficulty, and it says that the numbers for our guests to dial in is, there's a problem right now, so we may not be able to get our guests to call in, so we'll try to bear this for a little while as best we can, and hopefully they will fix it. But I'll go ahead and start us off with praying to God. He is Lord over this show and everything we say and do, so we want him in the conversation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God, and Lord, you're such a loving God that you tell us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to shine the light on your truth. We thank you for this opportunity to share the truth, Lord. We thank you for those that are using the truth that they hear, Lord, to make a difference for their children's future, for their family's future, and for our nation's future. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you be Lord over this conversation. And we ask this, Lord, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, listeners, let's see if we've got anybody that's joined us yet. So far, no, we have not. We're hoping that we can get someone. Someone is supposed to be joining us in about half an hour, another person. So we've got somebody that's going to be joining us in the first half hour and someone that's going to be joining us in the last half hour. So we'll see if we can go ahead and give you some information that hopefully will be useful to you. One of the things that the Lord has really put in our heart to do is to contact the body of Christ, our churches. They make a difference, a big difference. So one of the things that I have done, because we have tried it and it has worked so well, is I have put in a blog on cityonahill.tv. If you go to www.cityonahill.tv, you will see blogs, tiles of blogs on the left side, and if you'll just scroll down, you will see it. It'll say, first of all, link to churches, and it's got here some of the RSS that you can click on, and then some of the titles like Steps to Help When Going to See Your Pastor About Common Core. And we have tried it. We have experienced, really, we were very, very pleasantly, ecstatically, I should say, surprised, because we have tried that recently, and we have been able to get through three churches. So three pastors have received the message, and they've received it very well. So we're just really so excited about the opportunity to do that. And one of the things that we would like you to do is really just take a leap of faith and, you know, try it. We've got a page here with some good information. And I'll go ahead and name some of the things that we have tried to do. And go to www.cityonahill.tv. And I said, just click, scroll down on the left side, and you will see where it says steps to help when going to see your pastor about Common Core. Okay. And let's see, what we did here is really we have a copy of a flyer that you can print out yourself. You can make changes to it, but we have used it, and it does work very well. So there is on this link a flyer that you can give to your pastor. There's also a link to Liberty Council's list of what churches can and cannot do. And that is a very, very important link. And I'll go over some of the things that you may not know that churches can do and pastors can do. This is from Liberty Council. It's on their website, www.lc.org. And it's got here, supporting or opposing legislation, church or pastor. It says the church can use the facilities, lobbying groups to discuss the social issues. That is allowed for the church to do that. They can also rent or loan church mailing lists to lobbying groups. The pastor can preach sermons on social issues and political issues and activism. Let's see. There's a lot of things. I'm trying to answer somebody's question. Our next guest, hopefully she can come on a little earlier since our other guest has not been able to call in. Okay. But on the list of what churches can and cannot do, see, they can educate on political process and political, social, legislative issues. They can do now, the pastor can do that, too. So the pastor can preach on that, and the church can do that. They can do petition drives supporting or opposing legislation or citizen initiatives. The pastor can do that. The church can do that, not lose their 501c3. They can support or oppose legislation that's unrelated to the church or organization. Both can do that. They can support or oppose legislation that directly relates to their organization. They can do that. They can encourage people to vote for or against the legislation or citizen initiative. So there you go. They can lobby candidates to support or oppose legislation or citizen initiatives. Church pastors can do that. They can also distribute position papers supporting or opposing legislation or citizen initiatives. So these are some of the things that are listed on here. And I went on that because that's really what we're doing with Common Core. It is, we're wanting to educate people. So I think you got it from there that, yes, it is fine for you to pass out information at church, to educate the church members, and for your pastor to speak out. So that is something that really needs to be tried by everyone. So arm yourself with this good information, with prayer, a copy of a brochure, and other information that you can find. And go to your pastor. Get them involved. Because what will happen when you share them the information, and when I share with you some of the information that is on the flyer, it is so shocking. And, of course, you know, most pastors have already seen the culture war. They know that, you know, there's something very wrong. Something very wrong when there are more young people killing each other, more young people committing suicides. There's more young people falling away from the faith. The percentages are like 88% of young people fall away from the faith when they go to college. So all these are not, are not information that this pastor is not getting. I'm sure, you know, he's been to a lot of conventions where that is an issue. And we are having a problem with calling in, so we are going to go, and hopefully our dear friend Alice Linehan is trying to call in, so hopefully Alice will be joining us shortly. And she's doing just that. And we are so grateful for the work that they're doing all over the country, especially in Texas, because Alice Linehan and others working with her, I see her coming on. Okay, Alice, thank you for saving me because, you know, I'm not very good at talking by myself. I'm not one of those monologue people. I'm so grateful. I have a friend that's just really was going to join me tonight for half an hour, and that's why I had asked you to come in last. But she didn't, bless her heart. It's very late for her. She's coming from the East Coast, so she probably missed it and thought it was another night, but I wanted us to have a contrast. She's coming from Virginia, and I wanted people to hear what was, you know, her concerns about Virginia's children. But I'm so glad you're here because, you know, I'm seeing what's going on in Texas, and I think everybody in the country needs to know. So get us up to speed on what is going on in Texas.
Oh, it is just a whirlwind. There is so much deception going on across the country with Common Core. Texas is one of those places where we think, okay, well, we don't have Common Core. We said no to Common Core. Common Core is everywhere. Common Core is in every aspect of every corner of education in the United States, from public school to private school to homeschool. And let me tell you why I say that. Tonight I was at a high school football game, and I'm sitting in the stands. This is how we find information. I'm sitting in the stands with a friend of mine who is a teacher, a third grade teacher. Her daughter and my daughter are good friends. She's a very nice lady. And we start talking, and I asked if C-Scope was in her school, and she said, oh, no. There's huge gaps in C-Scope. And I said, so I'm thinking, oh, good. She knows about C-Scope, and she's not for C-Scope. Well, then we started talking about the ACT and the SAT and the GED, that all of these assessment exams are aligned with the Common Core. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, let her know this information because, like C-Scope, Common Core is bad. She tells me how she loves the Common Core.
Oh.
And I said, really? And she said, oh, yes, you know where it's written from, don't you? And I said, no, tell me. And she said, well, the Common Core standards are written out of the Dana Center out of the University of Texas at Austin.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And I said, really? So I rushed home.
Wow. I bet, yeah.
And the Dana Center, I have to tell you, I have sent an email. I frantically sent an email to Donna Garner to say, mm-hmm. Oh, my, what's this?
Help.
Help. And so I'm waiting to hear back from Donna, but the website is all about the Common Core. How we can enable all students, especially those who are underserved.
Underserved.
Yeah. New pathway project.
Mm.
This is all. It's the Charles A. Dana Center, and the tagline is equity, access, and excellence.
Alice, what part of Texas didn't sign on to Common Core? Did they miss?
Yeah, this is the deal. People don't understand. Austin, Texas has not always been a red conservative state. People need to really understand that. And we were a Democrat state for years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at what's happening and you look at people like Cecile Richards, who is Ann Richards, the former governor of Texas, her daughter is the president of Planned Parenthood.
Mm.
People need to understand that Texas, the voters of Texas, as in many states, the voters and the citizens of Texas are strong conservatives.
Mm.
But we are being infiltrated from within at the university level by the progressive far left.
I know that's making you so sick. And I've got to tell Ms. Donna, please, we've got to have her come on the show too. I haven't talked to her in a while, and I think, you know, we're just, you know, there's so much stuff. You almost don't know what to tackle first, who to ask first. I mean, it's just almost overload in my brain every day. I'm thinking, who do I need to talk to? You know, where should I go? Because it's like you're finding, you know, just when you thought you had this, well, here's another one that's really a bigger head. This is huge. This is a huge head.
And, you know, when you look at Texas, and the battles over, like, the social studies textbooks, and you look at people like Donna Garner, Barbara Cargill, Charlie Garza, who were our former State Board of Education. Well, Donna was not on the State Board of Education, but she was one of those people who has worked tirelessly to fight in the trenches of the progressive Austin against the Common Core, against the, what she calls the Type 2 Common Core philosophy of education. They have been in the trenches fighting against this. She's known, as many of them have known, that this was happening. And she was trying to sound the alarms, if you will. And the fight was in at the State Board of Education. And that's why when Barbara Cargill was going through the nomination process, the committee process, to become the chairman of the State Board of Education in Texas, the people who were there at those committee meetings fighting against Barbara Cargill because she is a strong type 1 conservative, traditional classical education conservative. It was the Texas Freedom Network representative. The Texas Freedom Network was started by Cecile Richards.
Mm. Oh.
So this is the battle that has been going on. And now, thank God, there are people like Donna who have been writing about this and documenting all of this. So now we can go back and read and connect the dots and put the big picture together. And here's the deal. You know, we've got this big battle going on with Thomas Ratliff, who is the State Board of Education elected official, State Board of Education member. He's the one member on the State Board of Education who is really pushing for C-SCOPE. And why is that? Well, he is a paid lobbyist and has been for the last 12 years for Microsoft. And it's interesting because there was a debate last Saturday between Thomas Ratliff and Senator Dan Patrick. Senator Patrick is the one who was supposedly the big hero on C-SCOPE.
Mm-hmm.
And what Senator Patrick uncovered is that C-SCOPE and the nonprofit, the TESCCC, was set up illegally and went around the state legislature and all of that. So he's sounding the alarms on that, and he's correct on that. But what was very interesting at that debate is there was a woman named Marianne Whitaker. And she asked, and this was one of those aha moments for me. She asked Senator Patrick, she said, why are you focused on C-SCOPE when the Common Core curriculum is in every aspect through Eduphoria, which is an online technology data it's a software platform that school districts use to collect data.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she said the Common Core is in Eduphoria, it's in Pearson, it's in every aspect of education. Why are you fighting C-SCOPE when it's in everything? She said teachers have to write their own lessons because Texas is one of those states that said no to Common Core, and everything in education is in Common Core, is aligned with Common Core. And I thought, oh my goodness, she's exactly right. She's exactly right. And Eduphoria and Pearson, all of that is 100% in Texas. So Common Core is not in Texas. Common Core is in Texas.
And is it because the teachers are using the online tools because some of them cannot write their own, don't want to write their own?
Well, it is, but they're all, like this friend of mine, she's been all the training, the professional development training. She went to a conference in New Orleans that was put on by the Dana Center. The Texas teachers have been learning the Common Core.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is their workshop. That is their, sessions. Oh, my goodness.
Work sessions. They're having training, and the trainings are done by the University of Texas.
Oh, my goodness, Alice. So you really,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The law is on your side, but they're doing it anyway. So they're circumventing
right.
you through the teaching. So what's your, well, I guess that you got to figure out what you got to do next. But you know,
yeah,
that poor parent, thank God. Yeah, thank God that parent told you about this.
She had no clue what I do. She had
Aww.
No clue. She had no clue. And I just kind of went along with it. because I wasn't going to get in an argument at a football game. And I was finding out a lot of information.
Oh, yeah, you're getting great information. Well, I think you're right. Education is the key. And I guess I'll put in a little thing. I don't know if you saw the postings on our Stop Common Core Alabama page about the bluest eye. You've heard about the book, and you saw probably some of the felts and everything.
God.
Yeah, it makes you want to throw up. I mean, and we saw it's perfectly normal earlier. So, you know, you already want to throw up with that and cry because it's for 10-year-olds and it's not fit for anybody. But the bluest eye, what happened is our Stop Common Core Alabama administrator posted it. And somebody told her that, it's going to be red in this school. So, of course, parents wanted to call, right? You want to save your child and tell that school stop it. Well, the principal did not like the fact that he got a lot of phone calls. And, you know, he's contacting his attorney and this and that. And so there's a big deal. But, you know, it's awesome in a way, even though he is making a big stink, all he's doing is making attention come to the issue, which is so great, because now there was an internet article on AL.com or an internet online newspaper that one of our legislators is wanting to, you know, pass a bill to get rid of such a book, not to get rid of Common Core, but just to get rid of that book. And I guess he's not going to figure out that the parents are going to know that there's more than one book.
Right.
I think there's more than one book. But it's raised such a stink. And, again, you know, it's like you said, we've got to educate. When the parents finally get it, I mean, who'd have thought this man is trying to walk back and find a hole for himself somewhere, I think. But you know, you got this and that trying to make a statement to kind of, you know, pacify the parents. But I don't think they're going to be able to. I think the cat's out of the bag.
I think you're exactly right. Did you happen to see the one article? It's actually out of the New York Times that talks about these executives and professionals from the Silicon Valley with Google and Apple and all of that. Their children.
Go to Waldorf?
Well, their children go to private schools that do not have computers.
Yes. I remember reading that, and I posted that. I read that last year or so. But, yeah, isn't that shocking? I guess we really need to be putting that everywhere, too. Yeah, your kids are, you know, you don't want for your kids what you're dishing out to ours. So
exactly. Well, and they actually know better. I mean, they know better, and they're protecting their kids, even from the you know, the salacious sex standards.
I think what you're saying, we met our legislator this week. You know how they're making their rounds? And, you know, Ms. Barbara is so wonderful. She's a historian, you know, just awesome constitutional person. She drafted a petition, Alice. I don't know if I've sent it your way. But it was a petition pretty much trying to, you know, tell, we wanted to educate her because, you know, as Don Wildman, and you probably already said it, sometimes they just really don't know what's going on. They're being fed all sorts of stuff. And, you know, so we've got to put our 2 cents worth in. Well, we had a chance because she came to like a town hall meeting. You know, she's coming around our area and she is in the Workforce and Education Committee. So we gave her this petition. I'm going to read the petition to you and probably could send it to you because the point we wanted to make is, you know, they're used to getting a lot of online petition, but we know they're coming around to our district. So we wanted to hand them something, you know, actually hand them something with real signatures, you know, not an online number. And this wasn't really a lot. It wasn't a whole lot, but our point was we know we can get the numbers. But we want you to hear what the petition is saying, you know, and people are concerned. But what, let's see if I can read it to you. Okay, petition to uphold, and we called it parental authority. And I think it's a good form for everybody. She said, we, the undersigned, exercise our First Amendment right to petition the government for a redress of grievances by placing our signatures to this document. We oppose all attempts by the government to authorize the Common Core education system, school choice, and charter schools, as we've learned, are all the same. All of these undermine parental authority and local school boards. We support defunding Common Core school choice charter schools and the Department of Education. And she quotes the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution states that, you know, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. She says no powers delegated to the U.S. regarding education, so it's clearly unconstitutional for the national government to be involved in it, dictating standards and policies. We uphold parental authority and respectfully require our government to likewise. So we gave that to our U.S. Representative Martha Rose, and she took it. So we were able to educate her on the Common Core and the school choice and charter, that they're all the same, because we know that's something they have got to get across their mind, because there's a lot of people, you know, as you're finding, a lot of people everywhere that's pushing certain things, certain agendas. So, but that's one of the things that we were able to do. And now, you know, they've really handed us, because I know that somebody has said that the sex ed part is the thing that's going to get most parents. We've known that all along, but we didn't have the dot, right? We were lacking the dot. Now we have the connect the dot. I mean, when you read The Bluest Eye, and you know that that is just one, and you know for yourself the mentality that allowed that to come through is the problem we have. Right. Who in their right mind?
Right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It's, and I always, I've been saying over and over again, I listened to Dr. Peg Lussick out of Pennsylvania.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
I love her. And I love how she ends her talk. And I said this to a very high-level elected official in the state of Texas last week. And I said, you know, Dr. Peg Lussick says that someone asked her, why are there all these women who are out speaking and talking about education? And she said it's because a man will stand in the line of fire for his child. He will die for his child. A mother will kill.
Mm-hmm. I think this seems to be an end to some legislators' right to fame.
Yes. And you know, when you start messing and putting out books like what we've seen that's in the sex ed curriculum, and you're right, it's more than just one book. A mother will protect. We will protect our children. We will protect our children.
And
we are not
yes.
to allow this to happen. We won't.
Yes. Well, when I was giving it to her, I gave her an excerpt. Which, you know, we pray she'll read the whole thing. I don't know how much she'll read of it. But I did put a quote in there about, you know, what you were backing up. They already know. And I've quoted something about federal researchers were puzzled for years by a seeming paradox when it came to educating children about the dangers of drugs and tobacco. Remember all the money they spent on that? They
yes.
said there seemed to be a correlation between anti-drug and anti-tobacco programs in elementary and middle schools and subsequent drug and tobacco use at those schools. You know, it's like some schools didn't have any problems.
Right,
but when they
right.
introduced those things, what happened? It turned out that at the same time children were learning that drugs and tobacco were bad, they were taking in the meta message that adults expected them to use drugs and tobacco. And that's what Planned Parenthood does.
Exactly.
And they already know. And the federal government knows that these programs do not work, but yet they keep on dishing them out because we know that they're really not in there to help our children, unfortunately. Those planners are not. And goodness. But I think if the parent, as you know, you're able to educate some. And I love what you do where you make, you know, you go to these meetings and you have them stand and they get to be a part. I love seeing those posters that you do, Alice. It's like, oh, there's a new set of people there.
That's right. We're making the rounds. Well, and I'll tell you, one of the things we're about to have, we've really pushed this impeachratliff.com. We are looking to take Thomas Ratliff out of office. by either through the legislature, through the House of Representatives, or through other means. We're looking into all avenues, and we are pressuring at the highest level to have Thomas Ratliff impeached from office. But we are having a education summit in Mount Pleasant on September 14th in Mount Pleasant, Texas, just happens to be the hometown of Thomas Ratliff.
Oh.
So we are going right into this
hometown.
Awesome. And but one of the things that we want to do, we're going to have presentations throughout the day, but then we're going to break up into small working groups. And, you know, not everybody is supposed to do the same thing. Not everybody's supposed to be blogging or writing or creating information. Not everybody, you know, is supposed to be walking the streets handing out flyers. Everybody's got a role to play. So one of the things that we're going to do at this summit is break into small groups, and before each person leaves, they are going to have a discussion with a group leader about what it is that they can do and get them to commit to whatever role that they feel called to play in this battle against education, the federal takeover of our education system. They're going to be called to action by the time that they leave, and they're going to leave knowing what they're supposed to do. And I think that we're moving towards that time when that's what we can do, because now enough of the dots are connected, and we have, you know, calls to action for different people to do, and there's different people doing, you know, like Christina, you know, if the call, if your calling is to help with someone who's being called to reach out to the churches, here's part of, you know, creating online videos. Here's who's doing that, and really connect people with what they're being called to do. So that's our next big plan.
Wow. Well, I'm excited, and one thing I want to hear about that. I want to hear it on that day, if at all possible. You know, when the Stop Common Core New York had an event, in that school, it was amazing to be able to hear the event live. It was a last-minute thing, but, you know, we were able to post it on all. And it was, you know, it's wonderful what a few people can do because then they tell somebody and that somebody tells two other people, and it was like a quadruple effect. So, Alice, I'll call you later about that and see if we can hear a part of it, you know,
right,
or something like that, and get everybody. It's kind of like electrifying. When we hear those, you know, those speeches, because we're all in it together. So that's, I mean, it was really exciting to hear them on that same day. So we want to see if we can, you know, hear just even a little bit of it and join you and pray. So I think that's, you know, what I'm seeing a lot of is the regional conferences. But what you're doing really is something that God has also laid in my heart. And because I believe that's what he wants. Yeah, you know, you've got to go in there. You've got to get those people educated because they are the ones that's going to be the driving force.
Right. Well, and you know what's interesting is we've had so many really good teachers who have left teaching because of what's going on in education, and there are still some really great teachers left. And I was speaking the other night in Grand Prairie, and we had a table full of teachers, and there was actually even one administrator. And these people are really good people. They're not, you know, communists and trying to indoctrinate our children. They're just being strangled by these curriculum products that people are making a lot of money off of. And they don't like Thomas Ratliff and what he's doing any more than we do. And I think there's a real opportunity for us to build a coalition between parents and teachers. One of the things that we learned in Texas, we had, you know, we had the Lano ISD where the parents and grandparents filed to get a temporary restraining order against CSCOPE in the district, and we got the temporary restraining order, but we didn't win the next battle. And it was because a lot of these education nonprofit organizations have oodles of money that they get from our tax dollars, because we pay for our administrators and teachers to be parts of these associations. And they brought in attorneys that filed an amicus brief. But what was interesting is in doing that, one of the arguments that the attorney on the opposing side made is that the people who filed didn't go through the protocol or the process of going to the teacher first and complaining about the curriculum, and then, you know, the teacher can't do anything about it because the teacher is being mandated by the superintendent. So then you go from the teacher or from the principal, and so you go from the teacher to the principal and complain. Well, then to the principal, to the superintendent to complain. Then you go from the superintendent to the school board and complain. And if you don't get a resolution there, then you go to the chairman of the education and complain. That's the protocol to take if there's a complaint in the education system. Well, now we know the process. And I can guarantee you that these school districts do not want there to be all these complaints that get all the way up to the chairman of education. And so there's an opportunity. It's not easy, and you have to be very hard-nosed because you're going to get pushback from the education establishment that's going to say, oh, well, you just don't know. You're just, you know, we are the education experts. We know that this curriculum is the best. Well, no, you don't, for one thing, and I'm the parent and the taxpayer. And by having people go through this process all over the state and from state to state, actually, what we're doing is we're actually building a coalition between parents and teachers, because teachers are just as controlled by the Common Core as anyone. And actually, their pay and their evaluation is tied to the assessments that are in the Common Core. And so they don't have a voice because their paycheck is and their family's income is dependent on it. So I believe that there will be good, honest, solid teachers who know what's in this curriculum, who do not agree with it, and actually would like for someone to go through this process and complain. But when we're doing that, we need to build teachers up and empower them and say, I want my, you know, child's teacher to teach with a textbook, not a, you know, a handout from an online curriculum that's a photocopy that's not. One of the things I thought was really interesting, I was talking to a teacher last night who actually has to teach under the Common Core, but her son brought home all of these geometry homework, and they were printouts of CSCOPE. She said it was so frustrating because the pictures on the printouts were so bad. And in geometry, you have to be able to see the shading and all of that to get the correct answer. She said, when you have a textbook, that's completely clear. When you have a photocopy off of an online curriculum, you can't see it. And that right there is a complaint that you can take to the teacher. The teacher can't do anything about it because she's being directed by the principal. So then you take it to, and you know, demand that your teacher has the right, you know, same tools to teach in her classroom or his classroom. And then you take it to the principal and on up. So those are the kind of things, the strategies that we can start using, too, to empower our teachers and give them back their classrooms.
Well, Alice, I don't know if I don't think I've had you on with Finn Larson with Christian Educators Association International, and I'll try to get him on with you because his, you know, it's like a teachers union, it's a Christian teachers union with $2 million worth of legal representation for the teachers.
Wow, yeah.
And I know when the thing came on in the news about the transgender issue in California, you know, he was on one of these news programs on radio talking about that, and that, you know, really he hoped that the teachers would take a stand on that. And I'm sure if they were one of his teachers, and when we had our little conference, in where the radio show comes on, and this teacher drove 3 hours away to come and hug his neck. He came all the way from Ohio.
Wow.
Just a kind man, the president of CEAI, Finn Larson, and he spoke, and she said, I had to come and hug you because you represented me twice personally. And she said, and she's now retired, was a teacher for 30 years, and she said, had it not been for him and them, because, you know, the other union says they'll represent you, but they don't actually. So she got, you know, so here's this group, and they actually represented her, and she said it wasn't just once, it was twice, and she won. So I think that's one of the things that would help support that teacher to come out of the, you know, of that fear, is if she knew she had $2 million worth of legal representation, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, you could really make your voice be heard. And in her case, Sharon is one of, she's fighting. She's in the Stop Common Core Alabama. This is what that group has done for this one woman. So can you imagine if it empowers? We need you to talk to him. So that, you know, we need him to be heard in Texas because he is just an amazing man, and he gets a lot of information from us, and he passes it on. So we just love him. But that's empowerment. But now, one of the things that I get from you is because Texas said no, in a way, your problem is a little bit, I guess it's got a minute difference. We're still dealing with Common Core, but technically your state supposedly said no.
Right.
So you're having to pretty much call them out. And that's one of the things I see why they really need to go confront the teacher, because technically the problem should have been taken care of. Should have been. And it's got to be pointed out that in this particular school, in this situation, it's definitely not out. It's still in. So I can understand that. But my goodness, that hurts my heart and brain because, you know, once we get rid of it, we can't really rest, because one of the things that we're learning from you in Texas is that online management system, and ours are named different names in each state. But we really have to investigate those online management tools because we know that they have their hands on it.
Right. Exactly. And it's
so we're going to be doing the same thing you're doing. We're going to eventually might have to do what you're doing, which is one-on-one. We have to start with the teacher also to let us know.
Right. I believe so. It is. It's going to be. It's like Charlotte Iserby says, it's, you're not going to get rid of it. It's just a matter of pushing it back year after year after year after year. That's what they did. Charlotte Iserby, Phyllis Schlafly, Donna Garner, they've been pushing it back for years. It's just our turn, and it has a whole new dynamic because of the online technology and the access to our children that I don't think that they've ever had before.
Well, and again, this is why the parent has to know. And as crude and horrible as that book is, The Bluest Eye, I think Alabama's just a start. And I don't know if you saw the video of a Mississippi senator She really has that. She really knows Common Core. And she's saying, next year we're going to have a bill. She's a former teacher. Isn't that awesome? But she, you know, she says, "Hey, I when I saw that math, I knew it was bad. I graduated college. You know, it's like common sense should tell you it's wrong, it's bad." And so, but I'm excited because you know we are getting, I think, all around we are getting legislators that are starting to get it, and if they will speak up like this one did, they're going to be the heroes of the day.
Oh, definitely. I think you're exactly right. I think you're exactly right.
I'm almost wondering if we don't need to get these kind of people together, Alice, so that might be one of the things. You can think of sponsor an event where you've got all these legislators that really are on the same level. They need to connect what other state legislators are doing. Well, I know I saw it even in Florida. They had 10 senators signing on. They're turning Florida against. Can you imagine with Jeb Bush right there?
Oh, gosh. I know. Isn't that wonderful, though?
Yeah. So I think, yeah, get see if you can do something to get them some, you know, some support and put their thoughts on it. But I do think one of the things that I don't know if I've shared with you about what we've done with churches, which I did a little blog on it because when I saw the bluest eye, it was so depressing to see that.
Right.
And I know that if a church pastor just heard some of these things, he would see the light. I just can't imagine most church pastors turning the other way. I'm sure there are, but for the most part, I think there's a lot of them that will, like us, want to throw up. But so what I did was I just blogged on our blog and website, cityonhill.tv, and I just put an example of what we did when we went to a pastor, which, you know, is very basic. You get your information, your handout. You know, if you can have a CD, you know, have it with you. We were supposed to see somebody that just wanted one page, very succinct, very clear. We were going to be in there for 15, 20 minutes, and that was it. Very busy man. And we were very, very, I don't even know that we were together in our presentation, but one thing we did do, we had somebody praying for us the whole time we were there, and we had prayed before we even went in. So there were two people to see the pastor. You know, we didn't want to overwhelm him with too many people. So it was just, you know, somebody from the church. And then, you know, I helped come in as a little support. But I think she already had it. She presents her thing. I present my thing, you know, which we're not exactly together. You know, she's got her own thing and I do too. But, you know, we kind of work it together. And I think God worked it together. And I was thinking, he started saying something about, you know, he started saying good things about our concerns, things that we wanted to hear. And I thought, any moment now, I'm going to hear a but, you know?
Right.
I didn't hear a but. I didn't hear a but. And this was a very large church.
Wow.
And at the end of it, it was like, what can I do?
Right.
And so and that's been tried three different times. But the system always works when it's somebody from that congregation speaks up. It's again, it's just like with our representative. I know that Martha Roby has, you know, said to us that she's got to be able to tell Congress what we said. Somebody's got to say it, you know. She can't just go up there and do her own thing without somebody telling her.
Right.
So that was the same thing, you know, I think in my mind is, you know, he's got to hear so he can say to his administrators, his congregation, whoever, you know, what this is. Somebody presented him the issue. And I think we're not doing enough of that because as many churches as we have in our states, if everybody, and you know there's always one person you can get in a church to listen to you, if you can get that one person, and even if you only got 1%, that's still a whole lot of churches in your state or mine.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It matters. It matters.
Well, we were very pleasantly surprised. I mean, to tell you the truth, I was shocked.
Wow, that's great.
And it's happened three times. We've tried it three times.
We've been talking about this for a while, though, and it just, you know, got it all in his time.
But I think that the sex education did help. You know, our little brochure points out to them what happens when parents lose can no longer go to their local school board. That's something most everybody at that age gets.
Right.
They know the local
right.
school board. What happens when you don't have that? So we start with something in common. And, of course, I put in there on the brochure is the wording from Lou Gerstner, who said he wants to get rid of the 16,000 school districts. So immediately, it's like shocked.
Right.
There, somebody actually wants to do that, yes. And then we lead into the two professors. We quote them because if anybody should be listened to, it should be Milgram and Stotsky. So we say their quote.
Right.
One says homeschool. Isn't that shocking, too? And then
yeah.
the other says this is poison, no matter how expensive how much money. It's poison, and, you got to say no. So we get those two little quotes in there, and then we get the National Sexuality Education, let them read that little quote where they want to children to have adequate time to practice their sexuality skills,
right.
And the pastors got it.
Yeah.
And this bluest eye is going to help us out. I mean, that's a pleasant surprise because now a fourth of our state, if not a third of our state, is on fire for this
burned
this book. And they're finding out it isn't going to be just one book. We have our Thursday national call that Donna Waldman puts on.
Right, right.
And I don't think, did you get the recording about last Thursday?
I have gotten it, but I have not had time
okay,
to listen.
Okay, you've got to listen because as bad as the bluest eye is, what she talks about is even worse.
Ugh.
And it's in elementary school. The accelerated readers
that
the children can get online, that's where she's getting these from. So I think when parents get that, Alice, there is no stopping. There is no stopping that mother.
Wow. That's it. You're right.
So we've got to, God is good. He is, this is his time. And I know you're going to share that with your Texas parents once you hear that.
Yes.
You need to interview the lady. I'm going to try to interview the lady too, but you need to interview her. And I'm not going to let her tell the title, but.
What is her name?
I can't remember. I know her first name is Debbie, I think is what it is, but I've forgotten the last name. But it should be in your call information.
Right.
She might even have a contact.
Yes,
she's supposed to be on with us tomorrow night. I think tomorrow night she might can come on. Don't know for sure, but.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'd love her to have her on our show on Mondays, too. And either Mondays or Wednesdays, that would be great.
Well, I think one of the things, I know I've learned from y'all is you've got to look at every nook and cranny.
Right.
You can't, and really you cannot give up. I mean, I always think to myself, when I get so tired, I picture the child in front of that box. And
right.
That child cannot fight the system. And,
right.
We try to raise them in the right way, and God is good. I do believe in reading them God's word. But
right.
Bottom line is God says for us, right, we're supposed to be the ones responsible.
That's right. You're exactly right. That's exactly right.
But anyway, so we're looking forward to y'all's event on September the 14th at Mount Pleasant. What time y'all going to start that?
It's from 10 in the morning, 10 to 2.
10 to 2,
so
okay.
I need to set it up ahead of time and make sure I may be able to even get someone to come in and film it and do the live streaming where I'm not the one setting it up because I'm not good with all of that and it needs to be I need to have someone be able to set it up. That's one of the reasons why the left outflanks us all the time. This debate of Thomas Ratliff and Senator Patrick, I filmed it, but I have to go through and upload and edit and then there were several other organizations that did filming. Well, the Texas Freedom Network that is started by Cecile Richards, they've got bukus of money that they're getting from George Soros and all these people. So they just pay people to go do that kind of stuff. And so we need to, that's one of the things that I need to be much better at is finding volunteers and really bringing in some young people, some young college people that they know how to do all that.
Well, you know, you've already got your blog talk, Alice.
Uh-huh.
So now September 14th, is that a weekend? I'm not looking at my calendar. What day of the week?
Saturday.
Saturday. So one of the things that you might want to think about is just, you know, open up your blog talk for that day. I know it can't do, I don't know if you can do 4 hours. I know I can do two. So, you know, you're going to break out anyway into little, you know, segments, a workshop. So you're probably only going to be able to air about 2 hours anyway, if that much.
Right.
So why don't you just do that? And if you want to post it everywhere, we'll help you post it on all the Facebook pages, you know, and so everybody can listen to a part. But you already have the ability, and you won't have to worry about, I wouldn't even be so worried about the video part. You've got the audio part. And if you need me to, I found out about, you know, with Yvonne, we were working it out just minutes before, within half an hour before the start, because, you know, we can set it up that quick, you know, within 30 minutes, but we have to set it up at least 30 minutes in advance. But so we were able to set that one up and hear them, and it was very, very, I think, you know, is electrifying to actually be hearing, be a part of that. So that's something, and, you know, with your blog talk, you know, you can send out that link to everybody ahead of time, you know, so we can all just listen to you and tune in. And as far as, you know, well, I could listen in, too, if somebody would hold a phone, and I can, you know, clean it up a little bit if it needs to be, shorten it up, and I will do it for you. I'll put it on your a link so that, you know, you won't have to fool with it. If you can't find anybody, I'd be glad to do that, and we'll. That's what I did with theirs. At the end of that day, I think, or maybe the next day, I was able to clean it up, shorten it up a bit, so they had an hour worth, you know, that they could listen. That's pretty clear. It's hard. It was live, and, you know, you were outdoors. So, but they were heard. They were understood. And I tell you, it was powerful because you saw all those articles that were written up on the event, you know.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, social media is really, you know, our tool for, you know, we're going to use it to the best. It could be used for bad, but we're going to use it for good, so.
Right, exactly. That's the goal. That's right.
So you won't have to worry about, you won't have to worry about all that because that's a lot for you to worry with. That was the last time I know, but you can shorten up what you have to do with what you've already got the capability, really. So, yeah, you can make that pretty quick. And I tell you, it was there was some noises, you know, I had to cut out when I finally did the editing. I had to cut out the speeches that were not very clear. But, I mean, it was amazing. The first part of it was very, very clear. So, you know, sometimes it's where you position yourself. So, you know, if you can let somebody, you know, just listen, you know, and tell you, okay, you got to move closer again, that would probably help. So, but anyway, I had better let you go because I will talk to you and on, and we probably need to talk off the air some more some other time because it's running late for you tonight. But,
right.
I'm so excited with all that you all are doing, Alice.
Oh, well, everybody's doing it. You know, the rumblings are definitely happening, and people are making the difference in every single state. That's why this is happening. People know what's going on. So we've all got a role to play, and thank you so much for having me on and for everything that you do and, you know, It's a battle every day, but we've got each other to do it together. So
I'm gonna pray for you and your team of Texans fighting the fight, and with Meryl in there, your newest Texan. She is so awesome. I just and God is good. So I'm gonna pray for you. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you are God, and nothing is hard for you, Lord. Thank you that you know our hearts, Lord. We don't do this for money, Lord. We do this for love for the children, the love that you put in our hearts, Lord, to love children, not even our own children also, Lord, other people's children, because that's the way you want us to love. You want us to love not just ourselves, but one another. So, Lord, we come humbly before you, asking that you give us supernatural wisdom and discernment. I ask that for Alice and everyone that's working with her. Lord, we thank you that you allowed her to find out the truth. We thank you that you bring them to her. And, Lord, we thank you that you are going to do something mighty in cleaning up, Lord, Texas, and that, Lord, every parent that loves their child is going to be a part of that cleanup. Lord, it's been bad for a long time. We have really needed to clean it up. So we're grateful for this opportunity, Lord. And, Lord, help her and her friends, her coworkers, and help us, Lord, to do the job that you want us to do. Lord, open doors that no man can close for us. And, Lord, we just thank you. We ask all these things, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you so much.
Well, Alice, you are so welcome. And if you don't mind, share with the folks, you know, if it's got relatives in Texas, where they need to be going to get more information and be hooked up with y'all and helping fight this thing.
Great. Yes, you can find us on womenonthewall.org or voicesempower.com. And there's all kinds of information that we've got on there. And then obviously on Facebook and Twitter, we're out there pushing out content every day. So
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Alice. And we'll check with you again later because, you know, we have to hear you and get an update.
Find out something
great.
New.
Okay.
Thanks, Alice.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye.